In these pieces of music, you just get one note at a time, more or less, just the melody. Sometimes you get two notes played at once, very occasionally three notes. But the music's very stark, very sparse, and you have to, or the harmony of the music is implied, not actually played. So I think it's rather like this with the Sutta Nipata. It's very simple, very stark, very ascetic, and the later Buddhist teachings are implied, and we bring those teachings to the text. They're not actually stated. So let's plunge in. I'm going to begin by reading you the first of these suttas, which is only actually six verses long, and it's called the Karma Sutta. And I always smile when I come across this sutta, because when I was young, I can say that now, when I was young, at school, I remember there was talk about a text from India called the Karma Sutra, which is the Sanskrit equivalent of the Karma Sutta, in name that is, which was, it seemed, I never saw the book, but it seems it was some kind of exotic sex manual with different ways of, different positions of having sex in. But this sutta is nothing like that. In fact, it's quite different. So I'm going to read you, what I've done is, it's quite hard to get good translations. In a sense, when you read these ancient Buddhist texts, you're at the mercy of the translator's understanding of the Dharma. So for some of these texts, what I've done is I've amalgamated two translations to get the translation that I like. So this is a translation of K.R. Norman and Tanisaro. If one longing for sensual pleasure achieves it, yes, he's enraptured at heart. The mortal gets what he wants. But if for that person, longing, desiring, the pleasures diminish, he grieves as though pierced by a barb. Whoever avoids sensual pleasures, as if avoiding the head of a snake with his foot, mindful, goes beyond this attachment to the world. A man who is greedy for fields, land, gold, cattle, horses, servants, employees, women, relatives, many sensual pleasures, is overpowered with weakness and crushed by dangers. Then misery enters into him like water into a broken boat. So one, always mindful, should avoid sensual pleasures, letting them go. He'd cross over the flood like one who, having bailed out the boat, has reached the far shore. Very simple message. If you try to get sensual pleasures and you're successful, you'll have a great time. No question. He's enraptured at heart. Piti mano. Mano is mind or heart. Piti is the same word that we use when we talk about the first jhana. It's one of the characteristics of the first jhana. Sorry. Piti is rapture. So if you get what you want, you're enraptured at heart. I like the last line of that verse though. The mortal gets what he wants. Just to remind you that even when you get what you want, you're going to die. Yeah. That's the message of this sutta. It's very, very simple. What's powerful about the sutta, I think, is not so much what the Buddha says as the way he says it. The metaphors are so strong. If for that person longing, desiring, the pleasures diminish, he grieves as though pierced by a barb. Barb is the translation of sala, which is an arrow or a dart or a barb. So you get what you want, you're enraptured at heart, and then you start to lose it, and then comes the barb, the pain. I'm going to say more about this wonderful image of the barb later on. Then the next metaphor: whoever avoids sensual pleasures as if avoiding the head of a snake with his foot. Very strong image. Probably doesn't mean an awful lot to us. We have to use our imagination, because we don't usually walk around bare feet in places where there are snakes. But of course, in India, everyone would know. Everyone would be walking around barefoot in the grass where there are deadly snakes. Everyone would know that you have to avoid standing on a snake in your bare feet. I think if the Buddha were alive today, he wouldn't use that image. He would say something like, whoever avoids sensual pleasures as if crossing the road on a main street in a city, you've got to be that careful of sensual pleasures. You get hit by a sensual pleasure and you are done for. The next one, the next image, a man who is greedy for fields, etc., etc., is overpowered with weakness and crushed by dangers. Then misery enters into him like water into a broken boat. What an image. You're in a boat on the water, on the flood presumably, and it's broken, and the water's pouring in, and you're terrified. That's the image that the Buddha used. I just think that image of a broken boat with the water just pouring in is such a strong image. And the boat is on the flood. So one, always mindful, should avoid sensual desires, letting them go, letting them go. He'd cross over the flood like one who, having bailed out that boat, has reached the far shore. Now, usually when I've come across this idea of reaching the far shore, it's been a river, getting from one shore to the other. But a river kind of behaves itself, doesn't it? It's in its boundaries, and you live there, and the river's over there. But here, the Buddha's talking about a flood. And, of course, this would have meant so much to the ancient Indians. In the rainy season, you get floods. Imagine if we were flooded now. Imagine the chaos. If we had this amazing thunderstorm and the whole of Tarloka was flooded out. Can you imagine the chaos, the damage? All our tents would be washed away. Our cars would be ruined. Our possessions, such as we've got here, would be ruined. And it would be utter chaos. Perhaps some of us would die. That's the kind of image the Buddha is using here. So when you're on the boat and the water's coming through, you are in big trouble. That's the first.